Well, friends, as you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, page 1405, just want to let you know that that was a joy to see that those professions of faith, of course, but it was a joy to lead through that membership classes and the elders meeting, and also that these five, along with four more who will be coming up in a later service, all receive study Bibles and certificates from our church. And then after the service, as mentioned, there's a time of congratulations downstairs, so be a part of that as well. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, familiar passage about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, March Madness, NCAA end of season playoff basketball, March Madness. I wonder how many people of our church filled out March Madness brackets this year? Show of hands. Wow. All right. And has anyone perfectly picked all the winners up until this point? Does anyone have it perfect so far? Show of hands. Wow. I don't fill out brackets for that reason, no. Because I don't know the teams well enough. I don't fill out brackets. My wife has filled out more brackets than I have. I know this because I have only done it in my lifetime once. One time a few years back. I picked all the top-seeded teams to win all the way through. And when one top seed inevitably ended up playing another top seed, I just went with the team with the better regular season record. But that's not a good way to do it. Because as I heard someone say once, on any given night, any one of those teams can beat any one of the other teams. And when that happens, it not only wrecks a lot of bracket choices, when there are upsets, this also makes for some exciting basketball. A lower-ranked team pulls off an upset against a higher-ranked team, like when, to our youth director's delight, number 9, Iowa, beats number 8, Clemson. Number 11, Texas, beats number 3, Gonzaga. No one knows what state Gonzaga is from. So number 9, Iowa, also beats number 1, Florida. More delight for Rod Scuddy. Number 12, High Point, in the high point of their lives, squeaks by number 5, Wisconsin. And number 9 beats number 4, Nebraska. Iowa beats them again. And then number 9, Iowa, also beat... Sorry, Scuddy, that's as far as you go this year. You ran into the Fighting Illini, my home state, thank you. No more upsets for Iowa. Upset after upset, though. Busting brackets, breaking hearts, the long faces of the coaches, the players, the fans. And you know they are heartbroken. They're thinking, oh, what could have happened that night on the court if they only made that one more three-pointer, forced that turnover, or hit two more free throws. You see it on their faces. Oh, what our team could have done. Friends, that's kind of what Palm Sunday is about. Oh, what the captain of our team, what Christ could have done. Palm Sunday, everything was all set to go. Everything lined up perfectly. You had the Zechariah prophecy being fulfilled. See, your king comes to you riding on a donkey. You had the disciples not running into any kind of obstacles in securing the donkey. You have a crowd, a very large crowd, spreading their coats on the road, cutting branches from trees, spreading them on the road. You've got people shouting, "Save us! Praise to the Son of David! Hosanna!" And they're directing their cheers at Jesus. They know something is up with this man. They've got Messiah on their minds. They've had Messiah on their minds for 1,000 years, and now he's here. The king has come at last. You've got all of Jerusalem stirred up. This is inauguration day. The king's about to start setting things right. Everything is primed and ready for this moment in time. And the strange thing is, Jesus, who knows what's coming in 5 days, he knows the cross is in his future. He knows he's walking toward a waiting tomb. Jesus does nothing to stop this kingly parade. In fact, Jesus, in many ways, orchestrates the whole celebration. "Hey, you two, go get yonder donkey and bring it here. If anybody asks any questions, tell them the Lord, tell them the king said so." And so they do. They bring the donkey. They cover it with cloaks. Jesus sits on it. And what does he do next? He is the grand marshal for his own parade. Soon the coats are flying. The palm branches are spreading. And the voices fill the air. Hosanna, which means both save us and praise. Save us, King. Praise the King. Long live the King. Yes, the strange thing is Jesus doesn't quiet them down. Jesus doesn't tell them not to tell anybody, shh, like he always told them not to tell anybody who he was or what had happened when he did something miraculous that only a Messiah king could do. But here, Jesus doesn't hush them. In the Gospel of Luke, in fact, when the Pharisees tell Jesus to keep this crowd of disciples quiet, Jesus says, "If they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out." Jesus, as much as confirms by letting it happen this way, "I am the King. I am the Messiah. I am the one who will at last save my people." And the people are thrilled. Finally, they have a king. They have their king. Jesus will set things right. No more Roman corruption. They have their Messiah who will shed blood if need be to save them. And so they shout out, "Save us!" and "Praise the Son of Man! Praise Jesus!" And the strange thing is, Jesus sets it all up, lets it run its course, knowing full well this parade route leads to a cross with his name on it. Palm Sunday kicks off the week with a cheering crowd, singing Hosanna, loud Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, but at the end of the week, leaves them shaking their heads in disbelief. You can almost hear them lamenting it, going home to their families in near despair. "How was your day, dear?" "Oy vey, don't ask." "Oh, what the Christ could have done. He took Jerusalem by storm. He had momentum. He had yes men all around him. He had his army of reservists all called up, cheering him on. We were sure even heaven itself might open and give this king the aid of its holy angels." That was Sunday. "I don't know what happened next, honey. Whole thing just blew apart. Unstoppable on Sunday, but by the end of the week, he shut his mouth. He didn't raise a hand against Rome. He never flexed one muscle. What's the matter with him? He was the one who could have done it all. He could have sent those Roman soldiers packing. I guess I expected too much. king for at least a few weeks or a year till we landed on our feet, not king for a day. Oh, what Christ could have done. He blew it. By Thursday, I wanted him dead too. Crucify him, just a coward, a big pretender. What a waste of time, everyone's time. Yes, Palm Sunday is a bit of a mystery, isn't it? A big hoopla for what? It's leading to a cross. It's leading to a bunch of people lamenting, oh, what he could have done. And then Jesus lets them all go through with it. He orchestrates it. These people need to call me king. I need to be declared king and be celebrated and inaugurated. And you know why that is. It's part of the mystery of Palm Sunday. Jesus has to be declared king here. Has to be. That has to happen for Jesus' death to mean something for his people. If Jesus dies a king, then he dies a representative. He dies for his subjects, all of the ones who claim him as their head. If he dies an outlaw, he doesn't represent anybody. He's got to die as a king. Then he represents them all. He is declared Messiah by his people. The Son of David, the King, the one coming in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. The people declare him king, and he accepts that kingship. He receives his coronation that Palm Sunday. Now he can die for them. One more required preparation has been made for sin to be paid for theirs and ours to be paid for. But the week goes by, and what they had hoped for, a revolution against Rome, just isn't happening. But he's still king, and that's what's important. What's important is seeing it from God's vantage point, not the people's. A circumstance, a Palm Sunday observance from the people's perspective is all pomp and circumstance, leading to regret. Hosanna, save us, leading to, oh, what Christ could have done. But from God's perspective, it's this. Good thing for you sinful folks that I love you. Good thing for you that what Christ could have done, he did not end up doing. Good thing for you. Good thing you declared him king, and after that, I blew up all your plans. Good thing, good thing. Oh, what Christ could have done from God's perspective becomes, oh, what Christ did. What a mystery it is. And how it all fits together. How beautiful that we can see it in hindsight. Everything said then was so right and so wrong at the same time. Hosanna, save us! Finally a deliverer who can save us. They had it right, but they also had it all wrong. They thought they were getting a king who would kill to save them from the Roman corruption. But what they got was so much more. A king who died to save them from their own corruption, their own sins. 5 days later, the soldiers striking him repeatedly, you know the story, and mocking him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And the charge against him up on the cross put there by the soldiers. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They said it, but they didn't believe it. They too thought, well, here's just another pretender. Let's get rid of him. Just like all the pretenders before him who think they can rescue the Jews from Rome. As my friend Jim Van Tholen wrote, what a joke. Some clown who thought he could be the Savior, so they nailed that joke on top of the cross. But you see, they had it right when they said it, when they nailed it up. They thought they had a pretender. He ended up on a cross. Who wouldn't think that? But that's not what they said. They laughingly still called him king. They got that right. They really had the King of all kings. And long before they got hold of him, he had his face set toward the cross. Everyone was saying the same thing about him. He's the king. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday, he's the king. He's the king no matter what. No matter how sarcastic that was said. He's the king no matter how much he lost the support of the people. He's the king no matter how much lament there was reaching to heaven. Oh, what Christ could have done. The sheer irony of Palm Sunday as it rolls on toward Good Friday is that the people who shouted Hosanna, which means save us on Palm Sunday, could yell even more loudly, crucify him on Good Friday, and not even realize they were yelling the exact same thing. Oh, what Christ could have done. And so now here we are in the 21st century, seeing it all with 20/20 hindsight, realizing again that if not for the fact that Christ left well enough alone and let himself be crucified, our sins would not have been paid for. We know that, and we praise him for that. What a plan God had made. What a plan he had and followed perfectly to pay for our sins and to give eternal life by our King Jesus. Still, aren't there weeks, even knowing all that you know, when on Sunday you're shouting, Hosanna, Savior! But by Friday you're yelling, crucify him! On Sunday, you're all fired up about Jesus. And by Friday, you just as soon he'd go away a bit. There are a whole lot of times when we want the look what Christ can do, King. We want our own little kingdoms to run. We want success, and we want status, and we want accomplishments, and we want money, and we want to live like kings. We want the look what Christ can do, King. Flex your muscles, Jesus. Win this one for me, Jesus. I know you can do it. We want the look what Christ can do for me, King. And God says, I've got a greater king than that. He's the oh, what Christ could have done but didn't. King. Instead, he went to the cross, and that changes everything. That means we are a people of the cross. Our path lies following Jesus. Our path lies through death. You want to find your life, find meaning to your life? Then you have to lose it. You die to the ways of the world. You die to the other kingdoms. You die to the bloodthirsty chasing after accomplishments and success and status and perfect looks and money. The good news is, of course, you don't stay dead for very long, for a new kingdom is on its way. But in this life, our way leads to the cross, leads to death, death to all the, oh, what Christ could do for me things. Because, dear friend, Christ did not do those things. He took my sins away instead. He took your sins away instead. Infinitely more important. Oh, what Christ could have done. Thank God he didn't. Thank God he died for you and me. Let that be the driving force in your life, professors of your faith. Let that be the driving force in your life. Let that direct you, professors of faith, not just the five who are up here. Not what you wish Jesus would give you now as the all-powerful King. What he gave you is forgiveness for your sins. What he gave you is a new way to heaven. What he gave you is a relationship of love with the creator of the world. We have no right to say, oh, but look what he could do for me. Dear friend, he came and has done what he needed to do, what we most needed. Jesus then gave new meaning to Palm Sunday. I hope you understand that. And I hope you see that he did it out of love for you and me. And I hope you see that for us, it's the way of the cross. It's the way of dying to self, dying to what the world thinks is important, and instead living for what truly is. We follow the Christ who died alone for you and me. Amen. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold your king." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold your son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. After 3 hours of darkness, in the middle of the day, after all he suffered by man's hand, Christ rose his voice in anguish and asked his Father, "Why, O Lord, hast thou forsaken me?" He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "'Tis finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. Would you please rise and join me on the final chorus? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. But he died alone for you and me. Beloved, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and peace of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and forevermore. Let all God's people say, Amen.